Hey everyone, welcome to The Withering Effect, episode 7. Today's date is July 30th, 2019, and I am Duds, or also known as Duds Versus in most social media circles. Nailed that date, Bank. Sorry, we had to restart.
Yeah, this time you nailed it. Well, I'm Bankad Apple, or Bank for sure, and we're going to talk about some Minecraft this week. Well, like any week, really. But, yeah. What have you been doing this week in Minecraft? Or maybe outside of Minecraft?
Yeah, we're going to throw some outside of Minecraft and stuff, because I think you guys kind of like hearing about our day-to-day stuff. And I've got a lot of crap. We'll just say that word on what I was doing. So, Minecraft-wise, it was a pretty easy week. I finished the XP on Demand. That video went ahead and went out. Awesome. Did a silo storage. Also awesome, but it's stuff I know how to do and easy stuff to do. The stuff we didn't know how to do, Omni's mini game that I used so many scratch pieces of paper trying to figure out his codes and everything. Literally, if you look at my desk at work, I'd be working on stuff, and then the second break time would hit, Scratchpad comes out, and I'm like decoding DaVinci over here. Just trying to figure it out.
Well, but we beat it. Devil Vinci or something.
Yes. Yeah, but we beat him. It took a lot of attempts, but we got him. Now, if you want to go outside of Minecraft, let's go streaming-wise. I did a logo update, which hasn't converted to YouTube yet, because there's still some tweaks I want to do for the YouTube side of things. Which means I will try to change my shirts for Streamlabs, because I hit 500 followers on Mixer, and when I hit 100 followers, every 100 I give away a free t-shirt. Streamlabs makes it so I can't make any new t-shirts, so now I've got this new logo that can't go on a t-shirt, but yet I'm giving away a free t-shirt. So yeah, Omni won the 500th. I need to get with him and talk about what he wants to do about that. But also, yay.
Congratulations, Omni.
Yeah. Omni won a t-shirt. I hit 500 followers. I'm happy.
Yeah, that was a good week, I guess.
Well, here comes the crap we talked about earlier.
The not so good part.
Yeah. So over a month ago, I ended up buying a new car. Right. 2016 Mustang. Absolutely love it. Now, this new car came with some issues, which is why I was able to get it so relatively cheap. They had a hailstorm the week I went to look at it. So basically the top of the car looked like a golf ball.
Ouch.
Just a ton of little dents in there. It also had a emergency brake shifter that needed its leather boot replaced, because the boot was so tight it wants to pull up when you hit a bump in the road. So you can imagine me going down the road, and there's a little alarm going, ding, 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 your emergency brake's on. What the heck?
Ooh. And that doesn't sound good while driving.
No, and a couple little other plastic buttons where you could tell the previous owner was just too rough on the car. In the negotiations, I negotiated to get all this fixed. The car is still under warranty through Ford. So it's not going to cost the car dealership anything to fix, except for the hail damage. But they were up front, we will fix the hail damage and all that stuff. So, I agreed to it, we agreed. I got my car cheaper because of having to go through all these issues. And that's when I knew I should have known I had a problem. So, the week after I bought the car, they tell me to bring it in. They'll start working on the gear shift boot and all the plastic button stuff. So, I take it in there.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yep. I sit for 3 hours. They can't fix anything. They've got to order parts. So it's like, okay. And they go, well, we're going to order the parts, but now we're going to wait to fix the hail damage until the parts come in so we can do the hail damage and the warranty repair at the same time.
Sounds logical, I guess.
Yeah, makes sense. I only lose my car one time, even though it's for multiple days, instead of having to drive back and forth during the week and miss work to drop the car off. So I go along with it, and I'm waiting for a call, and waiting for a call, and waiting for a call, and a month goes by. I'm going, now, I'm not a mechanic, but I ordered a lot of parts, And it's never taken me more than 2 weeks to get a part from China. And that's about as far as I can order from where I am located in America. So I call up there going, what the heck's going on? Well, they say, and then they go ahead and get me set up to start doing the hail damage repair. So I am figuring they just forgot about me and my parts and everything are there, right?
Mm-hmm.
No. So I drop my car off Monday, which is, Tuesday? So it's yesterday. Yeah, drop it off in the morning.
Think so.
Go, about how long does this take? And they say, the hail damage repair takes a day. I said, okay, now who do I need to talk to make sure when the car is done with hail damage, it immediately gets put into the service area so they can start working on the warranty stuff? And they say, talk to your salesperson. And I go, why would my salesperson put my car in the service section? Shouldn't I talk to the service section about putting my car in their section?
Makes sense, yeah.
But I go along with it. I talk to the salesperson, kind of. It's over text message because she doesn't answer the phone. And I'm going, okay, we're all good. Well, 3 o'clock comes by today. I still don't know if my car got finished from the hail damage or even put into the service section. So I call up there going, hey, I need to know the status of my car. And they go, oh, it's ready for pickup. And I went, sweet. So you guys got the hail damage and the warranty stuff fixed. They said, yeah, it just came out of the hail damage shop right now. And I went, okay, how about the warranty? And this is the response I got. Nobody wants to hear. What warranty?
Of course. And,
yeah. So at this point, the person who's literally just calling me to let me know that the car's ready for pickup, or at least answered the phone looking at the computer, letting me know my car's ready for pickup, has no clue what's going on, and just starts passing me around to people.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah. So I'm leaving messages, no one's calling me back, and I finally call the woman who did the hail damage fix, because she's the only one who is answering me straightforward.
Okay.
And she goes, hang on, like in a real mad voice, and goes and gets my sales rep.
Okay.
Who is now sitting right next to her.
Starting to sound better.
Yeah. And they go, well, we didn't have the parts to fix your car, so we need to send your car to Ford. Because I bought it from a Chevy dealership.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, well, you guys had a month to order the parts. You said you were ordering the parts, but you didn't order the parts. And that's basically what was going on. They just decided not to order the parts. But instead of telling me up front and letting me take it to Ford, now they're going to take it to Ford. And then I had to turn in my leased car because they leased me a car to take me over through the hail damage. Right. Basically, they wanted to give me a nice, pretty car because of the hail damage repair to make up for it.
Mm-hmm.
It was an absolute crap car. The 2018 Malibu is not a very good car, guys. If you own it, I'm sorry, but I'm ripping on your car right now. It literally looks like someone put zero effort into designing a car and just said, bleh, and then that's the car. It literally drives like a jelly bean and looks like a kidney bean.
Oh, boy.
And not even to mention, I sat yesterday morning for an hour waiting for them to prep this car for me to drive it around. They didn't clean it. And I don't mean they didn't give the car a wash. They didn't vacuum the dirt out of the car. And I went, I literally wiped the seat with a napkin before I sat in it.
What about like the steering wheel and stuff?
Oh no, yeah, that got wet wiped.
I was gonna say, like, the seat, sure, my clothes touched that, but...
Yeah, so needless to say, this afternoon before the stream today, I had to go back, turn in my lease car. They hooked me up with another car that I made sure was clean.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have to wait till Thursday before I get my car back. So that's the stuff I've been dealing with this week, and it's only Tuesday. How about you, Bank?
So my week was definitely not as disappointing, I guess.
Thank you.
Well, like you said, we beat Albany's game, which was awesome.
Victories.
It was, yeah, it definitely felt like a victory, which was cool. He nailed that game. It was really cool. It was hard, and it took a few tries. Well, maybe a few more than a few tries, but it was a nice victory.
As hard as it was, best game Omni's ever made. Call it now. It's at least my favorite.
Yeah. Well, the only shame is you can't really replay it. Like, some of other Omni's games, you can replay it. This one, not so much, I guess.
That's true.
But it was great. Well, maybe you do, because you replay it quite often before you solve it.
Well, and you have to kind of wait for Omni to reset it.
Yeah, that too. There's definitely a limit to how much Omni can work on it, I guess.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad about that, because we asked him to reset it a lot. But yep. His fault for making it an addictive game.
There were other people who were also playing the game, so it wasn't just us. Although I don't feel we've tried it a lot, but we usually put some time in between it, except for the last time.
Yeah, when we knew we were getting close, we just kept doing it over and over and over again until we got it.
Yeah, when we actually had like something new to try out or something, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that was a lot of fun to work through that. And then for the rest of the week, I've done something weird, kinda. They always have like this streaming event called GDQ, which is Games Done Quick. It's like a speedrun event. Mm-hmm. And I already, like, sometimes I watched it, or I watched, like, replays of it. And I'm always sort of intrigued by trying it out myself, but most of the time I'm like, I don't want to learn how to do a game like that and just play the same thing over and over again. That's boring, right?
Yeah.
And then I noticed they had, like, Minecraft runs as well. Where they have, like, different categories and stuff, but one of the categories is just, like, you know, do a random map and no cheating, basically.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And then I saw that the world record was like 26 minutes. So it's like, oh, that's kind of short to like start a world and defeat the Ender Dragon.
Yeah, that's fast.
But you know, I saw a lot of times where it was like below 2 hours. And I was like, that could be fun to be able to do it that quick. So I gave it a try and I was like, oh, 2 hours is actually manageable. And then that's sort of what I've been doing this week. I just sort of kept doing that, which is strangely addictive. It's kind of annoying to often like start a new map, but it's a fun sort of challenge. And another thing that I sort of noticed was, so this is apparently really popular in Japan, especially this category. And they sort of have these rules like, just play on hardcore. No dying, and no F3 screen, so you can't look at your coordinates and stuff.
Ooh.
And I'm like, oh, sure, let's give that a go. So it's in a hardcore mode, and then also, like, no F3 screen. It's kind of interesting, because you learn a lot of new kind of techniques, I guess. One of them was to find, like, the nether portal, or the end portal, right? You throw the Ender, the Eye of Ender.
Yeah.
And then the way I always did it, which I think is what most people do, is you just sort of throw it until it goes in the ground, right? And you waste quite a lot of those things. Mm-hmm. And it takes a while. And then I sort of learned about this, you know, you can sort of triangulate it. So you just throw it, walk in a straight line, sort of mark that line, and just take a right turn, and then walk off a bit, and then throw another one, and you can sort of where the lines cross, you know, like, get a dig down there.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really interesting. It's like, oh, I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, and I would not have thought about doing it that way either.
Yeah, so that's funny. You learn sort of things that are not that useful about the game, but I think it's kind of fun to learn, like, little tricks like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's been going, I don't know. I'm trying to get sort of consistent, so I could maybe stream it. But sometimes I die, like, really quickly. Because, like, one of the fun things is it's because you just try to be fast, kinda. Every decision where it's like, is this a smart decision? You just go like, well, I don't care. I'm just going for it. Which is kind of a fun way to play, but it's, I don't know. Yeah.
What's your best time so far?
So I haven't finished yet. My best accomplishment so far, I guess, is when I was actually fighting the Ender Dragon, and I got sort of scooped, and he hit me a few times. And that was at like 1 hour and 10 minutes.
Oh, man.
Which was, I kind of lucked out, and I don't know, I just couldn't, I couldn't pull through during the dragon fight. It was kind of a shame.
Oh, well.
And then for the rest, well, yeah, well, I've had some good luck after, but also some bad luck. It's a lot of relying on Enderman, obviously.
That's true.
Yeah, but I think, like, within 2 hours, consistently, should definitely be good to do.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, which is kind of cool. Yeah, so that's been my week. Just a lot of retrying Minecraft. It was kind of a fun week. Although it might not sound like that to some people.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, starting Minecraft over is always my least favorite part of playing Minecraft.
Yeah, I agree. Like, you don't want to start over too much, but this is, because you play with such a different mindset, it's almost a completely different game, which I think is kind of interesting. Like I said, it's strangely addictive. Like, it sounds boring as heck, but I don't know. It's sort of addictive as well.
Gotcha. Well, yeah. I think it's time to go ahead and move on to the news. What do you say?
Yeah. I think that's a good idea. Well, news, there isn't much news, but...
The news is short and sweet this week.
Yep.
Ripple Effect updated to 1.14.4. Yay, Ghost Blocks.
Yep. Ghost Blocks are back.
Woohoo. Our server has always had a little trouble with the lag issues, especially because we have a lot of builders and a lot of stuff running on that server.
Mm-hmm.
So you mix that with ghost blocks and you get lots of ghost blocks. I've run into a couple so far.
Yeah, I've run into a couple as well. It's mainly when you do the insta break blocks, right?
Yeah, and I'm digging out a mountain right now, so...
Ooh, fair enough. Well, and a lot of gravel with that, I guess.
Yeah, the gravel is a pain.
Mm-hmm.
But we have Minecon news. Minecon's 2 months away, literally, now. The date revealed is going to be September 28th.
Yeah.
So, 2 months away from that, they have announced... Well, they didn't announce. They put it in a teaser trailer. If you looked close enough, they're having another biome vote, which I think both you and I can agree with is a disappointment. We were hoping they would just throw the unused biomes into 1.15.
I sort of get their idea of doing a vote, though. Like, it gives people the idea that they had some influence, right? Yeah. I guess. And then
to me, if that biome you're putting up didn't win last year, you need to add something different so it's not the exact same as it was last year.
Oh, yeah, that's clever as well.
Like, what was Savannah had termites. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone voted for that one because they didn't want termites in their game.
Well, to me, it's still really unclear what termites would do.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I don't know if I want termites or not. If they're going to be eating my wooden house and stuff. No, I don't want them.
Exactly. And everyone knows termites as something bad. Well, it's like, I'm not going to vote for a biome that's going to put something bad in my game that could hurt me for no reason. And so, yeah, they need to either make things a little bit more clear or just change it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I think meerkats. Was that a savanna biome option? I want some meerkats.
Could be fun. Although they would be, I guess, sort of passive things, right?
Yeah. They'll probably be like foxes.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably not like rabbits, but more like a parrot or a fox indeed, something.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, it's fun. We get a lot of those now already. I hope the desert gets a rework. That's still sort of empty, I think.
Yeah, the desert really does need
a Although, rework. Fair enough. A desert is kind of empty in real life as well.
That's true. But they do have desert villages, so at least a village update in the desert would be nice.
I mean, the new desert villages look kind of nice. I don't know if you've seen any yet.
I haven't. I haven't run across anything in the desert.
Oh, I think the desert villages are kind of nice. And the villager skins that come with it. But still, I mean, it's just a village, right? We already had those. New ones or not. they haven't really been. Villages have always been there.
Yeah. Also, to go with the biome vote, they have announced the co-hosts. We don't really know much about the co-hosts. We know there are rather large YouTubers, so it's not like they're just random no ones. But we don't know a lot about them, so we weren't going to discuss YouTubers we don't know much about, other than to say congratulations. Hope you do good.
Yeah, I'm curious. I mean, I'll look at the live stream or a replay of it. And I'm curious what these kinds of people are.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows you how big the Minecraft community is on YouTube, where these are four rather large YouTubers. No clue who they are.
Never heard of them.
Nope.
I actually haven't. It's going to be interesting. I mean, it's a good way to get to learn them, I guess. Expand the community.
Yeah. But with that, I think that's it for the Minecraft news. We really don't have a lot of stuff this time.
No. We did have a comment, though, from a listener.
Oh, yeah?
Jaron Man, or as we know him, J-Man. He used to play on the server we played on, the KamiCraft server.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically said that he liked the episodes, and he gave a few comments on things that we've said, and and among those things he asked us a question about when we talked about biomes. So I'll sort of read out the little part of the comment, because I that's probably easier.
Okay,
so what he said was, you guys mentioned another biome announcement update. What if they're going to focus on adding biomes in the Nether and End? Which I think is kind of cool. I would love to see biomes in both the Nether and the End.
Well, the End technically has biomes.
Oh, does it?
It does actually have biomes. If you run across the End with your F3 screen on, you can see biomes do change in there.
Oh,
they're just not very drastic.
Well, I guess they should start using that a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe they do use it to generate stuff or something.
Yeah, I kind of think it was a test kind of theory, like Jamin said, to add more biomes into the End when they did the End update. But I'm not sure it functioned correctly, so I think they just kind of reverted everything back to End-ish and left the name of the biomes in there.
Okay.
But there are biomes in the End. I'd love to see Nether biomes. More Nether blocks would be kind of cool instead of just Netherrack.
It's a really, well, uniform looking place, really. It would be nice to get some variation in there.
Yeah.
If they do a good update on both biomes, worlds, not biomes. But if they do a big update on the biomes in both worlds, I would like to see some kind of spawn setting mechanic. Obviously, sleeping would be weird in like the End or the Nether. There's no point to sleep, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. Give us something that we can respawn there, or maybe even in the End or the Nether. I mean, like, make sure we could maybe grow crops in there or something like that. I'm okay to work for it. Just give us the option. Maybe that would definitely help out being able to live there.
Or you need like a
bigger things,
a spawn anvil that just anchors you to the world. So when you die, you just spawn on the anvil or something.
I mean, basically, pretty much just a bed, but I can see how it had to be something else than a bed, because that's weird.
Yeah, you sleep in a biome where it's all night, or you sleep in a biome that immediately explodes you.
Well, I think the Nether, at least that's how I always understood it, is sort of a metaphor for the hell, right? You don't need to sleep there.
That's true.
Yeah, but that's, I thought it was cool that we had another comment, and a nice question. I thought it was an interesting point.
Well, brought up something you didn't know, that End has biomes. Of course, I could be wrong. I'll never say that I'm always 100% correct, but I'm 90% sure the End has biomes. I think
if you're
just
right,
unused.
I definitely think it's strange that happened for the End and not the Nether. It seems more logical to try and add biomes in the Nether than in the End, but Yeah, they did work on the end cities and stuff, I guess.
Yeah. But I think this is going to bring us to our, well, at least my topic for this podcast. You guys know we, both me and Bank, choose our own topics. This week, we're kind of pushing away from Minecraft. with such limited news and us really kind of poking on the what-if aspects of Minecraft, we wanted to talk about something we do every week, and that is making videos and live streaming and stuff like that. So, for my topic this week is, Bank, how do you make a video? Take me through your steps of putting out a ripple effect video.
So I open OBS and I hit record and then I upload it. Obviously, I do a bit more than just that.
Yeah, I was gonna say that can't be your only steps.
No, I have more steps. I'm not a very much scripted kind of person or planned for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always there's always a lot of like different ways how I do it, but there is a sort of general line which I'll try and describe. So it usually starts with I get an idea of what I'm gonna do, right? That there's sort of a main topic, I guess, to the video. A nice example, my last video was I'll go rework the area around my portal house.
Yep.
My Nether portal house. And that's also like that was the idea. There was no vision. It was just I'm gonna redo the area, and from there on I was just gonna wing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that episode turned out a bit weird because I got distracted by a raid.
Yeah.
When I went to God of Blocks, which I thought was cool to put in an episode, which I did. So I focused a bit less on building during that episode. But normally I would sort of record clip. I would just start building, and then when I feel like I have to something to explain or something to tell about it, or I want to show something, I'll hit record and I do what I think I need to do. Mm-hmm. And then, somewhere in that process, I start editing. I usually start editing not when I got all my clips, but somewhere halfway. Uh-huh. And then I can get like a sort of measurement for how far I'm in the episode. Because I usually aim to make an episode about 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
So when I'm like halfway in editing, I'll know like, oh, I can build a lot, and I should do like a sort of bigger update to make up for the time that I've already wasted, or gotta slow down a bit, mm-hmm. record more basically. And then when I got all that, sometimes I have to add music like for time lapses and stuff. Uh-huh. Which for me is quite a long process. What I do is I make the time lapse. Just I edit like the video part, and then I mute all the sound. Except for my last video, but that was a whole weird episode anyway, I think. Because of the big rate distraction. I edit that time lapse, and then I just go search for a song that's sort of that duration. So let's say I have a time lapse of 3 minutes. I'll search for a song that's roughly 3 minutes long, and I'll listen to it, and then I'll sort of make a list, or I sort of save the songs that I liked, and then I'll play the songs when playing the video part of the time lapse to sort of see if the video kind of matches the song. And when that works out, I'm gonna try and sort of shift it into place. And that's usually taken quite a few hours, to be honest. And I'm probably still not the best at it, but I like doing it. It's kind of fun to just listen to music and then sort of try and make it match to the video.
Yeah, you changed the way I do time lapses.
Because that's funny.
I don't mention this in how I do the video, but when I was doing time lapses originally, I would just speed the footage up and throw any old song in there that would fit in the time frame. And after watching a lot of your time lapses, especially when you had the camera mod.
Yeah, auto replay mod.
Yeah, replay mod. You and Freddy both would just go mm-hmm. to town, and I go, I'm making total garbage. So at least I try to do better with my music. I do go through like 5 or 6 songs now and put them up with the video to see which one fits perfectly. I still don't go into as much detail as you do, just because I would go nuts doing that, but yeah, you have changed how my time lapses are made.
Oh, that's funny. I like how you talked about the replay mod. I actually looked into that this week, and they sort of have a tryout version for 14.4 going on.
Yeah, Exuma has been using that a lot lately.
Oh, okay. So it's I hadn't watched much bigger YouTubers yet, so I didn't know it. But I thought that was fun. I like to get that back. But I'll continue to how I make my
episodes. Yeah, don't let me interrupt you.
No, that's all right. Little sidetracks, no problem. So yeah, then when I got all my music sorted out, I sometimes do like weird stuff. The one I liked most was the security camera when X broke into my base in last map. I had like a whole security camera effect, which I really liked doing. That was kind of fun. But sort of weird things like that. I sometimes edit, sometimes I don't. You shouldn't overdo it, obviously, because if you do that every episode, that's going to be weird. And then I run on my episode, and I pick a thumbnail picture. I don't think I'm too good at picking thumbnail pictures. I kind of just make a screenshot of what I did. And then I put like my sort of overlay over it. And I upload it to YouTube. And that's sort of what I do.
Yeah, I don't think I am the best at thumbnails either. I kind of do the same thing. I just snap a screenshot of what I'm working on at the time. I have learned you don't want to put your avatar in every thumbnail, though. It took me a while to learn that.
Yeah.
I think I did a full season of Comicraft doing that. Maybe even two.
I'm personally not too big on self-promotion that much, so I try to not put my own name or my own... well, character face in my videos too much.
Yeah.
Although my old YouTube logo is my face, but, you know.
It is what it is.
Yep.
You were talking about doing weird stuff like the security camera. Every once in a while, I have something like that, such as my last episode, the XP on Demand Farm.
Mm-hmm.
Halfway through recording the episode, I told you that the TNT cannon was a thing again.
Yep.
And literally stopped, recorded you blowing yourself to smithereens, and then also recorded you successfully launching.
Well, what probably wasn't really clear in the recording is that I did lose my redstone and my TNT box during blowing myself up. So I'm out of redstone. And I'm out of TNT, although I don't think that's too big of an issue, but yeah.
But for people who watch my videos, I couldn't find a spot in the video to do something like that. So I put it right at the very beginning of the video. But I had two clips I could have fun with. So the Benki Goes Boom clip went first as kind of a soft intro to the episode. And then while I was rendering the episode, I got this itch and went, no, I gotta show how successful it was. So at the very end of the episode, I mean, you had to stay to the end credits where it looked like the episode was fading out and ending. There was the clip where Bank successfully launches himself out of the TNT cannon without blowing up. And if you I think a lot of people turn it off during the end credits. So I don't think a lot of people know that was there.
I was just going to say, like, if you hadn't told me, I wouldn't have seen it. Because I usually, well, I'll be honest, I don't watch completely until the end of that sort of logo part.
Yeah.
There's not much going on with your logo. But yeah, that was fun to have a little, I don't know, sort of hidden feature in the video.
Yeah, I think I'm going to add a lot more of that kind of stuff. That's fun.
Yeah, that was fun. It's like I said, a sort of hidden feature, right? An Easter egg, I guess would be.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Easter eggs.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good choice.
So, my turn to describe how I make a video?
Yeah.
So, every video I make can I shouldn't say that. 90% of the videos I make will be made in this specific formula, which probably means you guys are getting tired of watching how my videos are.
Yeah, so, you are way more planned than I am, I think.
Well, not even so much planned. It's just the rhythm I do it. This is what's felt comfortable for me, so I just kind of stay in my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll pick a task. When I immediately have that task in my mind, I record the intro of the video. Don't know why. That's just how I am. And then I go to a cutscene, and then during that cut is I'm gathering supplies or prepping the area. And usually I try to aim to do that on a stream because it's real grind work, but it also gives me a chance to give more content to people. So, such as my next stream, you guys are probably going to see me digging in this mountain. But trust me, I've dug, I don't know, maybe 50 blocks, and I've already fallen into like ravine caves and stuff. So, nice. Fun will happen. It's a gravelly mountain. There are surprises on every step.
And I guess it's safe to assume we'll have a time lapse?
No, I was going to. I can maybe get the camera count where it's like stuck in a block so you can see into the mountain clearer.
Oh, that could be funny.
But yeah, that's a big problem because it's in a mountain and it's a tight space right now.
Mm.
Maybe not really worth it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. If the task I'm working on includes redstone, that's done after the area prepped, but it's done in jump cuts. I don't do it while recording or on stream. Just because that's kind of a known don't do redstone live. Everything goes wrong. I think you should try doing
redstone on stream once. Could be fun.
Well, I'm take my XP demand. I sat there and waited days for the cactus to grow to get that thing full enough to test, and it didn't work. I had to spend another 30 minutes rebuilding the entire machine to get it going. So I don't do redstone on camera for that reason. Plus, trying to keep up with chat and redstone.
I'd be horrible at it as well. Yeah.
It's super hard.
Mm-hmm.
Next step would be to decorate the area / the redstone. Not every build I have has redstone in it, but I do a lot of automation. So I would say at least, 50% of my base is redstone.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually try to design a room around the redstone before I start doing the redstone. But that doesn't always happen. So, yeah. Then, at this point, I'm starting the editing process. I literally wait till my episode's 80% done before I start looking over it, which is probably a really bad thing. But that's just how I do it. So I start editing, and I throw everything in one clip at a time. I don't throw all my clips in and start moving them around and bunching them together like the way a lot of people do. It's literally intro, or my opening credit scene, then the intro clip, and then the next clip. Editing each one as I go, adding music as I go, because I like background music. I'm not a fan of there being no background noise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the sound of my own voice. So that's why I add background music. It's probably more so for my sanity than it is for people watching the video. People are probably tired of hearing the same kind of music over and over again. Like, every 6 months, I try to change up background music.
It's really quiet as well, right? So it's not...
Yeah, you can barely hear
it out there too much. Yeah,
I have about 6 or 7 songs, and I try to change them in the episode depending on what I'm doing. A lot of times it will be the one looping song for about half an episode, but if I've got a time lapse, there's fresh music in there. If I'm doing something like combat, I try to crank the music up a little bit more, put more exciting music in there. But if I'm just talking, it's really quiet, just kind of smooth, chill music. And then my big thing I'd like to say is I probably should stop saying a lot in the podcast. It's got to be annoying people because I'm hearing it in my own head. I'm going, Dutch, shut up.
I had that as well.
Anyways, when you're doing your editing and stuff, disable resample. I see a lot of beginners forgetting to disable resample or not even knowing about it. Disabling resample helps get rid of motion blur. So if your resample is disabled, the motion blur gets really small and confined, and it really does help you get closer to 1080. I know a lot of people don't care about hitting 1080, but that was my big thing. I want to do 1080, 60 frames. I don't care how long it takes to render, as long as I can hit that total. Granted, 720, 30 frames is perfectly fine. But please disable resample. As someone who has to turn view bobbing off on Minecraft because I get motion sickness, Resample does the exact same thing to me. If I'm watching a video that I've done blanked already, the Resample isn't disabled, I'll get sick about halfway through the episode and I've got to like pause it and go do something else and then come back and finish an episode.
I'm definitely not as sensitive to it, but I remember you telling me, which I think is also, like, for the most part, when I started recording videos, I asked most stuff, but that's, like, the one thing you were like, no, you gotta do that.
Yeah, that's the one thing I try to tell everybody who's new, yeah. And they're asking, like, well, how do you do this? It's like, no, forget about that. Disable Resample.
And it's, yeah, but after you told me, it stands out so much when you see it in a video. Yeah, it's like you said, motion blur. It's something, it's really out there.
You don't know it's there until you know it's there. And then once you know it's there, it's so bad.
Yeah, and it's really easy to have it go. It's literally like one click for me.
Yeah, for me, it's I right click on the clip, go to properties, disable resamples like in big letters, and I click OK.
Yeah, I can just select all my clips and then do them at once. But
yeah, well, I mean, I'm doing mine a clip at a time, so that's why. Well, plus, I actually that do also as well. Helps ensure that I don't miss one.
Oh, right. Yeah, I do edit my clips one at a time like you do, and then at the end, I just select them all and be like, oh, disable resample.
Yeah. But anyways, once I have most of my video put together, if I feel the video is comprehensive enough, I'll go ahead and call it quits there, go ahead and record the outro, and render the video. If I feel I have too little information in the video, like I may have finished the project, but that project took 10 minutes, I'll do a secondary project. I don't ever want to start a project and not get to a good stopping point. I used to wanted to make sure my project was 100% complete in episodes, which means it took like 2 to 3 weeks to put an episode out. This time
I worked 1 week really hard.
Yeah, or that. There were many nights I was up till 2 a.m. building something.
I remember that.
Yeah, but now it's I just kind of get to a nice stopping point, and I go ahead and call it quits there, render the video. My videos are edited, rendered, and uploaded to YouTube on the same day. Just because I get so giddy when I finish an episode, I want everyone to see it.
Yeah, personally, I also don't like to have too much time between me having recorded it and me putting it out there.
Yeah. I think that's it for my topic. We're getting ready to move on to your topic. This is going to be a long podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Because my topic was the short topic this week.
We were doubting whether we had enough topic.
Yeah, I know. This was the stuff that was cut last week because we had too much of one topic.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so my topic's sort of in the same area. Mm-hmm. Since I started, well, I probably shouldn't say it like that, but since I started streaming a little bit.
Yeah.
Or the ones. Well, I stream a lot with you as well, I guess.
Yeah, you know of the streaming process, just because you don't use your own channel. I still consider you part of my channel because you're on there every week.
Yeah, and I help out a lot with behind-the-scenes stuff, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, all my panels at the bottom of my stream, you touched them in some sort of way.
That's weird not saying like that, but that's true. Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know. I helped Googling a bunch of stuff. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, I was thinking, like, now we could both really talk about it, like the differences between streaming and YouTube and like maybe what you prefer, and I don't know, your views, like streaming versus YouTube. What's up?
Well, to me, YouTube is YouTube. It's kind of the undefined champion of videos. You're not going to find a platform that can compete with YouTube in making recorded videos. Streaming's kind of the Wild West right now, though, which is awesome.
Yeah, streaming seems to, well, it probably will never find one spot, but it's definitely more spread out than the videos are.
Yeah, and to me, when it comes to streaming, like, streaming's all about the community you have around you. Great communities make for easy streams with great content, The more interactive you are, the better the stream gets. A bad community full of toxic people and stuff is just really hard to mess around with and do anything creative. And then you have some people who just straight up don't talk at all during a stream, which is fine. I get lurking. I lurk a lot. But if you're the only viewer that streamer has, you really should try to at least say something once every 5 minutes. Just let them know, like, hey, they're doing a good job. Keep it up, because really talking to nobody is hard. And if they're willing to start this grind, I'm going to let them know, hey, I'm lurking, but you're doing good. Keep going. I'm entertained.
That's it. Yeah, that's an interesting thing to put out. I hadn't really thought about that.
Yeah.
There is a lot of streamers with just sort of one viewer.
Yeah. There's a lot of little guys out there.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, to me, streaming is, well, like you said, it's a lot about the interaction and the community. And then, well, the one stream I did, I had a lot of people, at least for me, which was nice. That helps a lot because you have interaction, you get to talk to people, and it basically just guides itself. You're just talking to someone almost. That's sort of, well, I mean, it's not easy, but it's a lot easier. And then from being with you, I know that sometimes that, you know, there's not many viewers. And like you said, that maybe they're all lurkers as well. They're sort of just sitting there not saying a thing. And then we kind of have each other to talk to each other about it. But that's got to be, a little bit rough, I guess, when you're just streaming and it's completely silent. Then again, you're playing a game, right? You're enjoying it. Some people do it for the silence. I think streaming is also, I don't know, it's freer. You can do sort of whatever. The content's less important. Like in Minecraft, you could just go mine, right? It's not the most interesting stream, but you talk with it. Maybe you got some stuff to tell. Some streamers are really good at that. They almost have a podcast when they stream, as it were.
Exactly.
Right? You can do anything you want during that stream because people will enjoy themselves probably a lot by just listening already.
Yeah, to me, it's like you should stream because it's fun, not because you want people to talk to you. But also, like you said, most of the time the viewers are there for you, not necessarily the game you're playing. So they just kind of want to hang out with you and your personality. Which is why you should try to be as much of you as possible during a stream, because you can't really fake it.
No, you can't. Well, I guess that's what YouTube kind of can do, right? You can sort of filter and make yourself look, well, perfect, I guess.
Yeah.
I definitely don't aim for that. I wouldn't want to come across perfect. But people can do that. And in stream, it's sort of, you know, you can't. Well, hiding is the wrong thing, but people will see what you're doing, which to me is interesting to watch the stream, because you can sort of get an insight in how someone deals with playing the game, like how they tackle certain things, how they think, how they, you know, their whole workflow and whatever. I think that's something that streaming definitely has as a major sort of thing, that's, you know, you get a really good insight into how someone is and how he plays his game.
Yeah, if people could watch my early YouTube videos and just know how often I cursed behind the scenes when stuff didn't work, or if I'd have a sound bug that I couldn't fix, and then to go from that to forcing myself not to be that way on camera, and then going into stream and trying to keep that up really has changed to the point where I don't have the mouth of a sailor anymore. Don't get me wrong. I was going to say,
didn't your parents and your sister like even said stuff about that, like since you streamed, your language has gone a bit
I had nicer. Very bad language all the time. I still have those moments, but it's so much better because I try to put myself out there for a broader audience. I feel I can help more people that way, and by trying to be me, I was able to kind of filter out that bad part of me to the point where it's not me anymore. So I always thought that was really cool, that being yourself but not being the bad version of yourself can really change you.
Yeah, I think it even affected me in your streams.
yeah.
I'm not as good at it as you, as staying in line. That's also because my mentality towards my own stuff is I don't want to be too clean. Like,
yeah.
I don't necessarily have to be vulgar. I guess that's the right word to use. I don't have to swear. I don't swear to get swearing in it. But I don't want to be clean. Like, I don't want to pay attention to it. And also, I noticed that the YouTubers and the streamers, and even just general television that I like to watch, is sort of not really clean. They go unfiltered by talking.
For sure.
I guess that's the kind of audience I would aim and reach mostly.
Yeah.
That's you know.
I understand where you're coming, and I will probably be getting there one day, but I have recently found how much fun it is to replace curse words with random words. Like, son of a peaches!
Yeah.
It's just so much more fun to think of a random word on the spot to interchange with. But
yeah, I always laugh a lot when, well, I just did it as well, when something like that happens. I like the cursing, like, you know that you get normal curse sort of sentences, and then you replace one of the words, the keyword, basically, with something nice, which is... That makes me laugh, because it's really unexpected as well.
Sparkles. So you're
like, oh, what? Yeah. So I like that. That's a good... Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, but we've gone off way on a tangent.
Oh, so, massively.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and push it back on there. The next part of your topic was the difference between Mixer, YouTube, and Twitch when it comes to streaming.
Yeah, so that's basically...
Do you want to start with your stuff?
Yeah. Well, I can't. Yeah, I guess. And that's sort of streaming aimed, right? That's sort of more aimed at just streaming.
Yeah, that seems to be where the conversation wants to go, so we're just going to jump in and go for it.
Mm. Well, as far as I know, at least, you got sort of three streaming platforms. Or maybe two and a half. You got sort of Mixer and Twitch, which are clear streaming platforms. And then you get YouTube. I don't know that many YouTube streamers. I know there's plenty of them. But because it's also the video platform, I'd say maybe a half. But yeah, there's obviously differences and similarities, I think. And my favorite definitely is Mixer. For one reason. It's the interaction part. And with interaction, I'm mainly aiming at... there's no delay. Like, if somebody types in chat, I immediately see it, and they sort of immediately hear my response, which I love, because you can actually talk decently to people. And then I know a lot of conversations sort of get lost, or they sort of miss your comments, because it's like, even a 5-second delay is sort of too much already.
Yeah, the only delay I've ever seen on Mixer is when someone's on mobile. You get about a 30-second to a minute delay there.
Yeah.
But that's still nothing. When someone's on a keyboard talking to you in stream, I think the delay is like 3 seconds, which is just amazing.
You already have like quite a big of a delay because you talk or the streamer talks and then you have to type, which is so much slower.
Yeah.
And then they have to notice it and then read it. So there's obviously already sort of just a human delay on top of whatever the platform has on delay.
Yeah.
It breaks up the conversation so much. Also, like, they can't help you play the game, I guess. Like, Minecraft might not be the best example. But if you were playing some kind of shooter or whatever, and they say, like, oh, right to your right or behind you, there's no point in saying that if it's going to be 5 seconds late.
Yeah.
If it's sort of at the same time, it can still help. That's fun for the viewers as well, I think, if they can sort of get a sense of, hey, I can actually help him play the game.
Yeah.
And then Mixer has the buttons, which I think are really cool.
Yeah, the keyboard functionality is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Now, I do watch... Well, there's one YouTube streamer that I sort of regularly watch. And he has a lot of subscribers, so his chat's like really full. And like for when I streamed, like I had a bit of chat, his is like constantly scrolling. You know how it goes with those big guys. And YouTube. I don't know if other platforms have this, actually. But YouTube has, like, the sort of super chat function. Mm-hmm. So people donate and then gives them sort of priority chat or clear chat. And that's, for him, it's the only chat he reads out.
Yeah.
He just sort of ignores all the rest of the chat, except for sometimes when he actually asks a question, like, hey, what are you drinking today? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is kind of a cool feature, I guess. Like, that could be... I mean, if you're bigger, that's a nice way of sort of having people still talk to you, being able to read, like, messages and get some money out of it, I guess. That's something that I think YouTube is cool. And you have it all on one platform. Like, not everyone is a streamer and a YouTuber. I guess we both count as being both streamers and YouTubers. You know, it's nice to have all that stuff in one place and not be scattered around.
That is true. That's the one thing I do like about YouTube more.
I'd love to stream on YouTube, but it has such a delay, which makes it hard for me.
Well, and to me, it's nowhere near as customizable and or interactive as Mixer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Twitch, you lose a lot of the interaction.
More interactive and customizable than YouTube.
Yeah. Well, then again, YouTube isn't meant for streaming.
Yeah.
It's a byproduct. It also, it's a video platform, and they allow streaming. I mean, obviously, they work on their stream quite hard, at least I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
But Twitch and Mixer, they only stream.
Yeah.
Which leads me to Twitch, which is kind of, to me, its benefit and its sort of downside as well. It's just a stream to me. There's nothing, there's really nothing to it. It's a stream. It's a solid streaming platform. There's a lot of people, which maybe makes, I get lost in the woods when I go to Twitch. There's a few people I know. Sometimes you link me one, but beyond that, I'm not by myself on Twitch, basically. I'm not going to scroll through that. It's way too much, which I think is a shame. But, it's also nice because there's so many people in one spot, like YouTube. If you want to go for videos, you go and look on YouTube. For streaming, you got to scroll around a bit between a few websites.
Uh-huh.
With Twitch, not so much, I guess. But, yeah. Yeah, that's sort of my views on those three guys. What are you? How do you think about those?
So for each one of them, I wrote a pros and cons list.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start with YouTube because it is the big end all be all platform,
right?
And that's its big upside is it's the platform. You want to make videos, they have you. You want to do streams, they have you. Quality-wise, they've been there for years. You're not going to get much better quality than YouTube. Mm-hmm. Its downfall is it kind of tries to do too much, in my mind. By doing all these different things, and it opens its doors to a lot of people, which will bury new creators. Like, if you look at my YouTube channel, I only sit at 126 subs. And I've been around 100 for a long time now. Mm-hmm. But you go to Mixer, I'm at 500. And I've been doing that for a lot less than I have been doing YouTube. And I feel like I know most of my followers on Mixer a lot better than I do my YouTube subs. The other thing is YouTube's also filled with a lot of toxic people. There's a lot of people who are just like, nope, you're wrong. It's like, okay, well, why am I wrong? You're just wrong. I disagree with you. You're wrong. Go away.
Like, I guess the heck? A YouTube comment is sort of like, I can say something and they're not going to reply. Whereas if you say something in a stream, you know, the streamer's going to reply to it.
Yeah,
if he wants
I'll call
to,
you least, out in the stream.
Yeah. And then that's a tough conversation because one guy is talking and you're typing. That's
Or I get to do my favorite thing, Banhammer.
Or that.
Yeah. For Twitch has the same kind of issues as YouTube, as it's, like you said, it's huge.
Mm.
Which is its great draw, is that you know a lot of traffic's there. And if you're creative enough and you stand out enough, Twitch is perfect for you. You will grow extremely fast on Twitch because they're always kind of looking for something new on that site.
I think if Twitch, if you work hard enough, you'll be there. Like,
Yeah.
You just got to work for it.
Yeah, that's Twitch is definitely, I'm willing to put in the grind to make it. You will make it.
Yeah.
They do have a lot of customization with their panels down below. A lot of people like Streamlabs and Stream Elements and some minigame makers will change the panels up. So you can do some really cool stuff down for your information, which you don't see on YouTube, which I really like, such as like a countdown to when you're streaming next. That's always really cool.
Mm.
Twitch's big thing, though, I think that's a plus for them, is the affiliate status. As a small streamer and video maker, the affiliate status is super easy to reach, which is extremely awesome because just a little bit helps. We're not all trying to go pro. I'm not trying to go pro in YouTube and streaming and podcasting or whatever. But something little like an affiliate status would be really nice to help. And I wish more people did that.
What are the bonuses to that affiliate?
So the affiliate status, you only need like 50 followers and so many hours streamed, but it allows people to subscribe to your channel, so to directly fund your channel, kind of like a Patreon.
Oh, that's like the monthly subscription, right?
Yeah.
Instead of a follower, you do like, you pay like $1 a month or something, and then...
All right, but with Twitch, you can sub with your Twitch Prime, which if you have Amazon, is straight up free. So if you have family members who have Twitch Prime and they want to support you, more than likely you can just have them subscribe to your channel, and now they're able to support you in a way other than pushing your product on other people.
Nice.
Like, hey mom, hey dad, my sister, you know, follow me here. You don't have to watch, just follow me. Help my hobby grow.
Yeah, that's... Although Amazon isn't really used in my country that much.
Oh, yeah.
So that might be more beneficial to maybe Americans. I don't know how Amazon does in other countries.
Yeah, but it also goes to say, if you're streaming just to earn money, you're doing it wrong. It needs to be fun first. If you're not having fun, you're not going to earn money.
I think that's what counts anyway for YouTube and streaming as well, like you said. Like,
yeah,
if you don't enjoy it, it's not going to work out.
I think. Don't go in thinking you're making a career out of it, because you're not going to. You should have fun. That'll show in your videos, and you'll get support that way. I left Mixer for last because, to me, Mixer's the best out of all three of them when it comes to streaming, even though it's the smallest. But its smallness is probably what makes it the best, because it really does lead to really good communities that you get to know. So, like, I average about 10 viewers every stream, which isn't a lot at all. But those 10 people I see on a regular basis, I know them pretty well. I know the kind of content they like. I know what they like doing in their free time. So that's really cool. And I also try to form my streams around those regular people, such as, like you said, Mixer has the keyboard. Well, I'll change my button sounds or interactive stuff just for them, because I know they like that stuff. And
a really well-known viewer gets like its own command.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
Yeah.
But the cons of Mixer is the small audience is also, you're not going to grow at a huge rate super fast. Partnerships are also kind of hard to get on Mixer. Go ahead and go with what you were saying.
Well, I was going to say, right before we started recording this, I had a look on Twitch. It said, like, what, 35,000 viewers for Minecraft?
Yeah.
And then Mixer had, like, 1,000 viewers on Minecraft. Uh-huh. That's quite a big difference.
There is a big difference. Yeah. So that's kind of a con, but also a plus. Because, like I said, it leads to really getting to know your community well.
Yeah.
And you feel more like friends than you do, I need to put on a show for these people. Like I said, partnerships are kind of hard with Mixer, and I understand it. Because they are such a small community, they just can't do what Twitch does. So I won't complain about that, but even though it's still kind of a con, just because affiliate status for Twitch is awesome. The next thing is the fact that it's kind of pushed just on Xbox. And I know Mixer's trying to push away from Xbox. They don't want to be known as the Xbox streaming site.
Mm-hmm.
But every time you get on Mixer, it's just filled with Xbox streamers. So when I try to stream our SMP, which is a Java Minecraft, I always get, can I join? And it's like, sorry guys, this is a private SMP. And they don't understand that. And they're like, why can't I join? Like, guys, this is an Xbox. It often takes
you saying that you're on PC before they realize, like, oh, wait, this is a different version.
It's gotten to the point where I added a button on my stream that says join, just so people who want to join will hit that join button, and it pops up and says, this is a private SMP. Sorry, you cannot join. Please follow Duds Versus on YouTube here, here, and here, and all that kind of stuff. And then I'll still get the, wait, can I join? And it's like, no, sorry. That's the downfall of Mixer. But overall, Mixer, with how fast they are and how great the communities are, everyone's trying to help, is really the best platform.
Also, I like the looks of it, but that's...
It is a very clean look.
That's completely personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this stream, or not stream, you got me saying stream. This podcast has lasted pretty long. I think we should probably wrap it up.
I think we should. So if you like the show, tell everyone about it in your Minecraft community, or just everyone in general. Just share it with everyone. Make it go out into the world on social media, all that. We want it out there. More listeners, that would be cool. Also, leave us a rating and a review. Obviously, that helps us reach more listeners and it helps us improve the show. If you would like to get into contact with the show, send an email to podcast@rippleeffectsmp.com. Tweet us or join our Discord and can have a chat with us.
All right, this show has been brought to you by Bank and myself, but also our digital producer, Carl. He helps make sure the show ends up where it's supposed to be and not in your dog bed. Let's also remember to thank Decoy. He does the amazing music you hear at the beginning and the end of the show. Both their social media links can be found down in the show notes. And like always, guys, thanks so much for getting withered with us. Bye.
See ya later.